The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Welcome to the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Give Bill a call at 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass is where you are. We'll grab a few calls before Town Hall News. And then we're going to be talking about, can this road be saved? Skyview Drive in Jackson County, just a mess. Some of the people living there are asking for some help. Holly, you want to weigh in on Joe County's issues here, too. Go right ahead. Hear you.
Good morning. You know, Chris Barnett is a fantastic guy. He's a decorated veteran. I got to sit in his office yesterday and talk about the issues. You know, he's a wonderful guy. But, you know, the Democrats right now are all about anarchy. You know, it's their stated game plan to go after anything conservative. It doesn't matter. To me, it's just a truth optional kind of a program. They just go after everything. Yesterday, they had another event on the courthouse steps. This one, they didn't, bus in a bunch of people. So there were like four people who showed up, something like that. I mean, it wasn't a big deal. But that's
what were they protesting? I'm just curious.
Social Security.
Oh,
you know, the huge
okay.
canard that Trump is trying to get rid of Social Security, which is, you know, that is not happening. First of all, Social Security is a contracted program with the citizens. It's not something that they will ever get rid of. What they're trying to do is...
You know, I would disagree with you on this a bit here, Holly, because Supreme Court has made it clear in rulings in the 1960s that all Social Security tax is just another income tax. And the program can be changed at any one time. Now, it's political suicide to change the plan, though. Let's be honest, okay?
I think what they would have to do, if they were going to do that, is change the plan. But the people who have already paid into that, I don't think they can take that away from them. I think it would have to start at the people who have not paid in and say, this is the game plan going forward. But anybody this amount and under... You know, that may be a different deal. I think that's how they would have to approach that. But what they're doing now is they're trying to cut back on the illicit use of Social Security dollars. You know, a lot of people who get Social Security are over 115 years old.
And I would dare say there's a bunch of I would be looking at the disability program, and I have a feeling that there are way more people that that don't belong on the disability program that are there right now. I'm spitballing on this one, but it's amazing how many ambulatory and walking and talking people that I've known and been aware of over the years who are on total disability. It's like, okay, you're still functioning. Why are you on? But anyway, I digress.
Certainly. I mean, if somebody will enable you and give you the money, why not? And that's something that probably needs to be looked at. We talked to a guy in the other night in our parking lot at the office, digging through the garbage, and turns out he was one of the guys, one of the five disabled people. He's walking around smoking a cigarette. So we asked him, what is his disability? And he said, asthma.
Oh, no, he's disabled with asthma, and he's smoking. Oh, yeah.
Right.
No problem. At what point then, when you are self-generating your disability, do we say, no, you don't get any money? Sorry.
Right. I know his wife is a person who is disabled, but somehow or another they've got him on there too, and on this lawsuit, you know, basically the injunction. It's, you know, all of this stuff is pretty crazy. And when you get a lot of people loading the system who really, as you say, should not qualify for it, then it only affects the people who desperately need the service.
Yeah. Now, I'm kind of curious, were the people that were protesting out in front of the courthouse yesterday, did anyone yell this? This is a famous one used by Democrats.
Don't take my health care away!
Did anyone yell,
don't take my health care away?
Don't take my health care away!
Yeah, it was that kind of thing, but mostly it was just, you know, here to protect Social Security and Medicare.
Oh, okay, very well, that's health care. That's health care. That's what they probably would have yelled at. All right. Holly, thank you for the update. Appreciate it. Let me go to Dave. Dave, you're here too. Fire away. Go ahead.
Yeah, yesterday I heard on Guns and Gadget on YouTube that there's a couple of defenders of the Second Amendment. One is, the one I remember the name of is... Firearms Federation. They filed with the Attorney General's office in D.C. Mm-hmm. a civil rights basically a civil rights complaint against 12 states not honoring the Second Amendment.
Was Oregon one of them?
What they'll do.
Was Oregon one of them? Do you know?
Yeah, Oregon was one of them.
Okay, not surprising.
The 12 blue states.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's like New York, California. Right now there's a lawsuit in California over they've made it difficult to get a concealed weapons permit. They've made it really difficult. Of course, California here, you got no open carry.
Yeah, at least Oregon has that for now, but I know they've been warring against this for a long, long time. Well, let's keep an eye on that. The thing is, though, when it comes to the Second Amendment in the courts, it's always a mixed bag, though, Dave. You know that.
Right. But under civil rights violation, it's more like a lawsuit.
All right. Well, keep an eye, keep me in the loop on that one, okay? Maybe send me a link to that. I'd like to find out more, okay? And let me cleanse the palate here a little bit. Cherry, a couple of movies we need to watch. Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. If you want to be completely dazed and confused,
No, I'm dazed and confused in the morning here. Do I need help, on this? Go ahead.
It's like, just take a tab of acid, a spoonful of meth, a nostril full of coke, and watch a couple of movies. The first one is Jacob's Ladder, 2019, and it's about the vets in Afghanistan. It's a fictional thing, and it is so amazing. Your head will fall off.
All right. In other words, four out of five. How many cherries out of five? Since it's cherry, it's going to be the cherry movie rating. What do you say?
I'd say four.
Four out of five. Okay. What about the other movie here?
The Leaving Las Vegas with Nicolas Cage and Elizabeth Shue. I haven't had a drink in 15 years after watching that.
Did you want a drink after watching it?
No.
Now, isn't that Nicolas Cage, dead cow eyes guy. His eyes always look like dead cows, don't they?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful blue eyes.
Oh, yeah, but they're still, they look like a dead cow. He can't help it. It's just the way it works there. But, all right, we'll take that as another recommendation. How many out of five cherries again? How many cherries, Cherry?
Six.
Six? Really? I've always passed over that movie because it looked so depressing, like I would just put a bullet through my head. Although the soundtrack's pretty darn good. It has Booker T, the MGs, and a bunch of other good stuff on it. So
yeah, it had great music, and it was really great acting. It was unbelievable. And the ending was real happy.
All right. You know what my recommendation of this week is that we have just dove into, and I know this series has been out a couple of years, but Dark Winds. Dark Winds, I've been watching it on Netflix, and now I'm watching it on AMC On Demand right now.
Oh, boy.
Have you ever seen Dark Winds?
No.
Okay. All right, Dark Winds is, once again, a Native American sort of theme thing. It's like, and it has some of the people that used to be in Longmire, too, and I loved Longmire. And I was just absolutely just really into this thing. And it's on the Navajo Reservation, back in the early 1970s. So it's a period piece, but it's a real psychological police thriller. And I can't.
Ooh.
Linda and I have been gorging on this the last few days. Okay. So I'm going to. Okay. Go check it out. All right. So I'll give one to you. That's a four out of five Billies. I'll give it. Okay.
That's so cute. Got to see White Lotus, too.
All right. Thanks, Cherry. Appreciate the palate cleanser. Sometimes you have to have a little bit of life in there too, right?
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap lock.
AI machine learning at netsuite.com/Kim. The guide is free for you at netsuite.com/Kim. That's netsuite.com/Kim. netsuite.com/Kim.
Hear KMED in Grants Pass on 105.9 K290 AF Rogue River in South Jackson County on 106.7 K294 AS Ashland.
20 after 8. Boy, if you'd like to head up in the hills a little bit, I'm pretty sure it's up in the hills, but it's south of South Stage. Skyview Drive, Buena Vista. Got a big washout over the wintertime, and I wanted to talk with Don Boyd about that. Don, you live up on Skyview Drive. How are you doing this morning? Welcome.
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Doing fine. You reached out the other day because you're kind of, I don't know if you're raising the red flag or waving the white flag, as the case might be. But you have a privately maintained road, which is still also considered something of that you have to keep open for Jackson County. I'm a little bit confused about this. But Skyview Drive ended up getting a lot of rain like everybody else got over the winter. And you sent me a picture of it. It's washed out and washed out hard. You know, there's no way anybody's driving over that thing. What happened besides the fact, the obvious, that we know it rained?
The rain just continually kept coming, as everybody knows, and it just washed that out, and it slowly collapsed down. But the road's classified as an LAR, a local access road, which is a public road, but it's not maintained by them. It's supposedly maintained by us, because back in the 50s, when they did the whole Cherry Hill area, they developed that. But, you know, we had Steve Lambert from Jackson County, Director of County Roads, come up, and he refused to declare it as an emergency. It's impassable. Anybody were to drive over that, you're going 300-500 feet down a hill.
Oh yeah, yeah. It looks pretty destroyed, you know, at this point. And the asphalt's all broken up. And so this was something that was designed back in the 1950s, then, and kind of like, but the responsibility is all on the 20 or so property owners up there to keep the road maintained, but yet the county says it has to be open for the public too, which strikes me as odd. I'm a little confused about that status. It's like, how can it be public and private at the same time, I guess? They appear to be a contradiction in terms.
Well, when you go down Orchard Home Place, you come to Buena Vista, and Buena Vista goes up, and it curves around and comes into Skyview. Well, we, as the group here, had Buena Vista completely repaved a few years back, and we were getting ready to repave Skyview up too. Yeah, but then we had this horrific rainstorms that came through, and it washed that out. And there's 20-plus houses up here that right above us that can't even come down. They're right now using a temporary road.
Did you build that over somebody else's land, you know, near the road where the washout is?
Absolutely.
Huh.
And they're allowing people to go through it right now, which, I mean, this is just going to plummet their property values and everything else down there, because there's no access up here now.
Okay. Yeah, no access is the, is a bad thing. But everybody kind of knew that's what the rule was when they moved up there. Did they not, Don, or did they not?
Absolutely. And everybody pitched in, like I said, to get Buena Vista paved, and we were going to do it for Skyview here repaved. But then this came about, and this is beyond all of us.
Hmm. When you say it's beyond all of us, beyond in cost, or it's because the roadbed's completely washed out? Like I said, the asphalt is all a kilter and broken up in numerous places, and yeah, you couldn't drive safely over that. There's absolutely no way. And if this is supposed to be open according to Jackson County decree, I don't know where you go, on it at this point.
Neither do we. That's why we reached out to you, most of the state representatives, congressmen, senators, and I've heard back from nobody yet at this point, and nor has anybody else.
All right. So no response from Jackson County at this point, or what happens when you reached out to Steve Lambert over at Rhodes?
Well, that's what it was. He came up and he said he wasn't going to declare it an emergency, and I'm not sure how, because you can't drive up there.
So the county tells you guys to keep this open because the public needs to go on it. I don't understand, though, how we could have the public being able to go on this private drive unless there's not some sort of shared responsibility with the county when you have an emergency. Is that kind of where the landowners are looking at this right now?
Kind of where we are. We're not really sure why.
Okay.
We've had several people come up to look at trying to fix it, and the cost is just beyond everybody up here.
All right. What would the cost be to fix this? It looks like a lot of damage to my eyes, and I'm not a construction specialist, but it's bad.
It could be $500,000.
Oh, okay. So we're not talking about throwing down a little bit of gravel, huh?
No.
No,
not at all.
Has there been any conversation amongst the homeowners, the 20 or so homeowners up there, of what could be done, or you know, what action they're thinking the county might happen, maybe even a loan or an assessment or something like that. What do you think?
We're in the middle of trying to figure that out right now, but we're not getting anything from the county or the state. And I understand that money's tight everywhere right now.
Oh, sure.
So, I mean, there's a lot of people up there that between all the taxes they pay are hundreds of thousands of dollars each year. And it's just not just, you know, property tax, but their portion of the road tax, gas tax, state tax, everything else. So, and we have maintained this road. If you were to drive up Buena Vista, it's a very well-maintained road. And we were just getting ready to go all the way up Skyview, but then this happened, and we don't have the funds to do this, nor not really even sure how. We've had numerous people come up to take a look at it, and, you know, with multiple different ideas. But Jackson County Roads would know exactly how to fix this.
But Jackson County Roads has not been interested in taking this over, I would guess. It'd be another expense on the county. For probably just
Absolutely.
A few people, though. You can understand, I have to, you know, play both sides of this, really, you know, on this. How many people use that road besides the property owners in general? If you were going to make an estimate, you know, how many people go up at Buena Vista and then cut over on Skyview Drive over time?
A lot of people do.
Really?
They go up to the top, to the very top. There's not any homes up there, and they see all kinds of things. I mean, you can see over the whole valley. You can see on the backside of it. There's people that drive up there just sightseeing, I guess.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of a viewpoint of sorts up there. I've never been to your neighborhood. It makes me want to go drive, except I'd need a cat to get around the bad part. But all right. Have you talked to any attorneys yet to get their opinion on this legally, Don?
No, not at this point. We're just trying to figure out where the next step should be to go.
All right. So. Well, I forwarded your email that you sent me. I popped that over to Commissioner Roberts, even though Rick Dyer is, I guess, the roads liaison, right? But I wanted to kind of get the word out. Did you send anything to Rick Dyer, too, Commissioner Dyer?
No, not after I read your email that you said you were forwarding to these other people.
Okay. All right. At this point, though, we're letting folks know, okay, this is what happened. You're not going to get up there and do your, do your looking out at Skyview Drive. That's not going to happen at this point. Because I would imagine you're not really going to want people going over the private property to go sightseeing on this temporary road. Have you stopped that or made it local traffic only? Do you even have the authorization to do it, Don? I'm asking a lot of questions.
We don't have the authorization to do that. They were gracious enough to allow people to cut through their property to be able to get down to Glory Sea Road to be able to get in and out. But that's it. I mean, we still have people that drive up, park in front of the sign that says don't go there, and walk up there with their pets or takes their bikes and other things.
Yeah, who owns that property up there, do you know? The side,
no, I don't.
The sightseeing area that they like to go to.
I don't.
All right.
I don't know who owns that. There's no house up there. It looks like somebody was going to build a place up there, but then they stopped, and we've been here 20 months now. And I mean, we moved here from Iowa, and it's a beautiful place. It's just quite surprising that the county roads aren't taking care of this, to, at least to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the issue here is that it's not really a county road legally, and that's the challenge where you find. But at the same time, if the county is going to say you must keep it open for traffic to go through there, then maybe something else, maybe there needs to be a different legal arrangement of some sort. I don't know. These are the kind of rules in a gray. It's kind of like water rights here, Don. Can be really arcane and difficult to understand some of this kind of stuff. But
Yeah.
I appreciate you sharing it. Yeah. Do you mind if I put your photo up that you sent me about that too? I just want people to see what the county is expecting them to keep open, but yet when there's $500,000 in damage from the storms over the year, there's not going to be any help from the county, at least not at this point. I don't know. Maybe there can be, if they're going to ask you to keep it open, maybe share a little bit of that, maybe help. Is that kind of what you're looking for?
That would be great. Or just tell us where to go next.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Don, I appreciate you letting us know, and we'll see where it goes. If nobody else has talked to you yet, well, at least we'll talk to you. Keep us in the loop, okay?
All right.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Don Boyd, he's up on Skyview Drive here in Jackson County. And from the looks of it, beautiful country, but yeah, a lot of rain took a lot of that stuff out. Yeah, a lot of damage, too. This is the Bill Myers Show.
One of each, K4 VIN 016551 MSRP 24145, Telluride VIN 624073 MSRP 44735 5999, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax, title license, 150 registration processing fee, trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 4/30/25.
Get up and go to Kia Medford, where payments are down to just $159 a month. Save on our huge selection of new Kias, like the all-new 2025 Kia K4 LXS. Only $159 a month lease, or a new 2025 Kia Telluride S. Now $259 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Don't miss K4s, $159 a month, or Tellurides, $259. Get up and go to Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Freddy's Diner in Old Town Eagle Point has a menu designed to appeal to everyone in the family. Choose from 13 hearty burgers served with fresh-cut fries, crisp and moist pressure-fried chicken, hand-dipped fish and chips, beer-battered prawns, sandwiches, steaks, salads, and more. Dine in or check out the menu online. Call in your order, and it'll be waiting for a quick and easy pickup. Support your local restaurants. Freddy's Diner on Main in Old Town Eagle Point.
Open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
After the promises are made, the honeymoon is over. It's always business as usual in the apocalypse. Same old divide and conquer, bully and threaten, provide for the communal paranoia, and make more laws.
Ground Zero.
When the frightened sheep demand them.
Leave the herd and follow Ground Zero.
Everything will be great, right? Because as the Who song says, meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Early evenings at 8, Use Talk 106.3 KMED. The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
And one of my favorite times of the day, and that's when I just say, hey, we can talk about anything you want in the last half hour or so of the show. 770-5633-770-KMED. Where is gold price this morning? Looking at gold. Oh boy. Up again. It's like, every time I'm looking at the gold price, it seems to be vacillating somewhere between 3,310, and now it's at 3,316. All right, 3,316 silver, 32.85. Okay, $32.85. All right, so yet another reminder. Hey, talk to Jay Austin if you're looking at, hey, I want to sell out at this insane price because the central banks are all digging in and the big money is digging in, or maybe you're thinking the big money's going in because they smell financial distrust in the water, and I think that's really what's kind of going on. And so maybe make sure some of your wealth is in this. Maybe you haven't stacked enough. Talk to Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers in Ashland at 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street, and 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass by appointment, 482-3715. Good people, and they will help you protect or get a good price at the scrap gold and silver that you may have right now, all right? Miners and gold and silver looking pretty good in times of iffiness. I don't know if iffiness is a traditional financial term, but we'll use it as a particular case. FortuneReserve.com. All right, let me go to the phones. Hi, good morning. And who might you be? Welcome.
Hey, Bill, it's your friend Brad. Good morning to you.
Brad, how the heck are you doing? Hey, you're a construction guy. Construction guy.
Yeah.
Could I bend your ear on what Don Boyd was talking about here a few minutes ago? Have you ever been up there on Skyview Drive with that big washout they experienced over the winter?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm aware of it. This, you know, just because there's a road or street that exists in Jackson County doesn't mean that there's a district or a governmental entity that has to maintain it. I'll give you an example.
Sure.
there's a friend of mine that's got some property up in Shady Cove, and it's on a street that is literally a private street. So back in the day when the street got put in, there's houses on it, there's everything else. There's no sidewalks, there's no streetlights. Mm-hmm. It's literally just a street that some people put in, and it's recorded as a private street. The city of Shady Cove has no obligation to maintain it, and so they don't.
Right.
This may be one of those situations.
I understand that, but at some point then, it would seem to me that if the county is going to order them to leave it open to the public, then it's kind of a quasi-public-private street, too. I'm a little confused about it. You know what I'm getting at here? It's like, how can it be private, yeah, and yet you're ordered to let people drive over it, right?
Yeah, right. So again, as you know better than anyone, just because you own a piece of property, pay taxes on a piece of property, doesn't necessarily mean that you get to decide what happens on that piece of property. Mm-hmm. Because laws are overarching. You know, they apply to a broad swath. So I thought your question was a good one, which is, you know, have you discussed this with an attorney? Because you need to determine who actually owns the property, and then even if it isn't the county that owns it, they have jurisdiction for the enforcement of certain laws, which may be why the county can demand that you keep it open, but they may not be liable for the maintenance. But your question is a good one, is if the county is requiring you to do this and that and the other, does the county also have a responsibility to help you maintain it if you're serving the benefit of the county? So those are good questions.
Yeah, because if people are supposed to be able to get on that and go all the way up Skyview Drive and then and look out of the nice pretty thing, all right, well, make it official, make it a park, you know, if you're going to call it that, you know. You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
and yet so if you have 20 property owners and they already repaved, apparently, according to what Dawn mentioned, they had already repaved Buena Vista, you know, going up there, which then runs into Skyview, and so they've already spent some money there, but unfortunately Skyview washed out over the winter time, and so maybe they weren't budgeting for this soon of a repave or a repair on something like that.
Yeah. You know, just to help you understand things a little bit better, developers deal with this kind of thing all the time. So when you see a subdivision go in, Bill, the developer has to pay all of the costs that pertain to that subdivision. Like, for instance, there's a new subdivision not too far away right there at South Stage and King, mm-hmm, King's Highway. And it's a new subdivision, and for that subdivision to happen, the developer has to go in, and all of the streets, all the infrastructure, sidewalks, paving, streetlights, all of it, he has to pay for all that. Then once it's all done, then he converts that over to the jurisdiction of whatever jurisdiction that you have to be in. Right now, that's inside the city of Medford.
Yeah, does that kind of reminds me then of what happened with, I remember, the developer John Schleining, when he was going, yeah, to build up east of Medford on East McAndrews, and part of the bargaining, I guess, was that he built and constructed most of East McAndrews, right? Is that right, one of those, right, kind of things? That sort of thing,
right? Right. So back in the day when the subdivision was platted, there had to be an agreement for the developer, mm-hmm, you know, to put the road in. And the ownership of that road would have been with the developer, or perhaps he formed an LLC to do the development. But whatever that entity was would have had ownership, and then whatever maintenance responsibility for that road. But now we get back to that other issue that we were discussing, is that later down the timeline, if there was never some sort of official action that actually put the ownership of that road, you know, underneath the county or underneath, you know, a road maintenance district or what have you, then whatever entity put that in still owns the road, but they have to operate that road according to the standards that applied when the county granted the development permit.
All right.
So probably the development permit is the one that makes those requirements that you were talking about.
And this might be the original legal deal. Now, Danny Jordan just reached out to me, county administrator, and I think we're going to talk with him in a minute and see if we can clear this up and find out, you know, what's what there with the legal definition of that. Okay?
Yeah, he will know the answer 100%.
All right. Hey, appreciate the call. Thank you for that.
You bet.
Thank you, Brad. It's 20 before 9.
Joel here at Brother Ford and Truck Center.
Click the Medford link to grab these amazing deals.
I'm saving big.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Danny Jordan said he was going to give me a buzz here in just a moment, and we'll certainly try to get him on. And while we're waiting for Danny to pop in here, Danny, anytime, we'll do some emails of the day here. I wanted to make sure and get some of this stuff out there. Emails of the day, sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. And great people. And if you don't have dental insurance, they have a dental plan there, which works a lot like dental insurance. Very reasonable in cost. And when it comes right down to it, better benefits. And I think you would like that. It's on the Freeman Way, right next to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. I want to get an email of the day to Jan Dunlap. Jan wrote me because I was talking about Dark Winds and how much I love that show. Native American theme set in the early 1970s. Yeah, it's set in the early 1970s, and it's kind of a psychological thriller slash police procedure. And she says, Bill, I've been reading that Native Navajos are not happy with it. Language not right, not authentic representation of the Navajo people, the Diné. Yeah, that very well could be, Jan, and you know, that might be, but I still think it's well done in a great television show. I wasn't looking at it as a pure historical portrayal, but there's probably enough of it. In other words, a lot of artistic liberty has been taken. Is that kind of what you're saying, Jan? Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised about that. Still, I thought it was a pretty darn good show. And I'm on season 3 right now, so I'll probably gorge on that and get it over here much sooner than I would like. And then I would, you know, I'd love to have AI write some more episodes. I'm just enjoying it, okay? You know, you got to have a hobby every now and then besides just working on radios and stuff. All right. Danny Jordan, County Administrator, Jackson County. How you doing this morning, Danny? Great to have you back on. Been a while. Morning.
Yeah, it's been a long time, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Doing fine. All right. Can this road be saved? That was kind of the question that Don Boyd brought up. He was just talking to me a few minutes ago about this whole mess up on Skyview Drive. And I was a little bit confused because I'm hearing this. It's a private road, but the county says you got to keep it open. And so, to me, those are sort of contradictions in terms. And they got $500,000 in damage, big washout from the wintertime rains. And I imagine it's probably not the only road that's like that. But what do you say? What's the county kind of position on this? What's the actual legal definition of that? Can you add some or bring some clarity to all of this?
Yeah, local access roads really are a term used for roads that access typically developments or private property developments in the unincorporated areas. And, you know, they're typically a condition of development. So somebody wants to go, you know, out in the county somewhere and build a group of houses. Those houses need to have access from emergency services, for example.
Right.
And so they have to be essentially built to a standard that would allow that. There's, you know, specific statutes about local access roads, jurisdictions covered in ORS 368.031, so people could look and see. I want to make a couple points here, first of all, because I heard the talk about people paying property taxes, and they paid tens of thousands of dollars of property taxes. Property taxes don't go to support roads in Oregon, so the fact that someone pays property taxes doesn't build roads. Roads are built on gas tax, typically. Local access roads are actually typically built by developers and maintained by the private property owners.
And I imagine the developing that went there up in that neighborhood was a long time ago, back in the 1950s, 60s probably.
Yeah, it was before I was born, Bill.
Okay, yeah.
But essentially, and I just want to point out some things about this road. First of all, the county has responded. You know, I think the person on your show, I don't know if that person met with our roads and parks director, but our roads and parks director actually went out on site and met with some residents out there to look over the property. A couple of big issues with the property is the road. It hasn't been well maintained. I heard it was stated that it's well maintained, but it's a slide area that is a historical issue. So it's evidenced by repairs that are in the asphalt that coincide with the failure and slumping of materials on the downhill side of the road.
So this sounds to me like it's not all that different from the challenges on Dead Indian Memorial out in the county. That kind of thing? That kind of stuff going on?
Well, that's a highway.
Yeah, no, I get it. But still, you know how many times that has had to have been repaired because of slides in the...
Yeah, one, one of the issues is that, I mean, the road likely should have been repaired previously in a manner that adequately addressed the issues. So it's years and years of not adequately repairing it, going and patching it, you know, having failure and slumping and so on. The fixes that have been done in the past, which should have been more robust, were temporary ones leading to a greater significant impact at this point in time. That road is not widely used by the public for regular travel. It's actually a dead-end road,
okay,
serving solely the needs of the residents. Now, people may drive up there on the dead end to, you know, look out over the property, but it's not a thoroughfare or a throughway.
Because I was thinking, really, like, does. Hey, maybe you could just magically declare it a park at the end and then take it over. Now, I know that. I understand where, you know, where they're coming from. It's like, you know, it's a real challenge when Mother Nature ends up taking out your road to the tune of $500,000. Now,
well, maybe. I mean, that's kind of what I wanted to get at is, you know, there are certain contractors that will come out there. And if you were going to repair the road, like I said, to the manner that it was, you know, adequately addressed as it hasn't been in the past, that would be one thing. But our Roads and Parks Department, Steve Lambert, our Roads and Parks Department Director, said, you know, that he recommended several local contractors that probably would be able to do that in a passable manner, probably in the $25,000 to $30,000 range. Now, as I just said, it could be a $500,000 repair if you rebuild the whole road, geoengineer it, geotech, all of those kinds of things. You know, we're not going to do that. But what I wanted to get to is there's a law about this. And basically the law, it's, as I said, 368.031, a county and its officers, employees, or agents are not liable for the failure to improve local access road or keep it in repair. So, I mean, that's why I mean, even the person on your show said they understand they're responsible for that.
Okay.
The county can spend money on let me also say this. We have over 100 plus miles of local access roads. We get inquiries from people all the time declaring that their particular issue should be declared an emergency and they want their road fixed. Then they want the county to pay for it. And as I said, property taxes don't pay for roads. It's paid for by gas taxes.
And besides the county levies, $2 and a penny, that pays for everything, you know, right now. Just everything that's already existing.
Yeah,
okay.
But not roads. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the county, you know, could spend monies on local access roads if it determines the work's an emergency. And that requires the county road official to recommend the expenditure, which our county road official is not doing.
So they do not look at this. They look at this as a bad inconvenience, probably, but not an emergency. Is that kind of it?
I mean, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's more to it. And you know, when I talk about local access roads, usually as a condition of development, there can be different reasons for a road being designated local access road. So that's a general rule, not, you know, a specific application to every case. So I don't know what the application to this case is. I do know the people that our Roads and Parks Department director met with were aware that they were responsible for repairing and maintaining the road. You know, they were asking if the county could help. And as I just said, we have hundreds of miles of these types of local access roads where people wanted to be out in the county and build developments, and they need to, I mean, it's their houses that, you know, they want to have fire and police access to, delivery access from freight, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah, you want your Amazon delivery. Okay, I get it. The point being,
my whole point is the county did respond. I don't know how well the group of, you know, 20 tax lot property owners are organized. We did share the information. My Roads and Parks Department director went on site. We made a recommendation of who they should contact that thought that they would be able to complete the work in a short time.
Well, if you could get it done for 25, 30 or so, you're just going to have to pass the hat, essentially.
Well, yeah, if the residents take action. I mean, they got to get together and figure that out themselves. And that's what we tell people who are on local access roads, who live next to each other. It does require, you know, neighbors to work together to figure it out. That's the case here.
I mean, could the rules be changed here? Now, I know you're not an attorney, but you deal with a lot of attorneys there. Could the rules be changed there if they were to rebuild that, to say that, okay, it's local access, but truly only residential access only, instead of having people going up there and doing sightseeing? Could they legally change that through the county?
I mean, I would doubt it just because of the need for access for fire services and police services, right? I mean, if you truly have a private drive and you gate that thing off and you got 20 houses up there that catch on fire, there's a problem. Now, a fire can get keys to gates, and but you know there can be all sorts of reasons why there may be a public need for access to properties. There are ways to improve roads like that, and you know our roads department has worked through some of these local improvement districts are a way that roads, but that does put an assessment on property owner's property. I mean, they pay it back, you know. But the county.
But you're able to borrow it on the county's credit rating, I would guess, right?
Well, there's a couple different ways. You can do that through bonding. You can do it through infrastructure loans. I mean, there's several different ways to do it. But, I mean, really in this case, I think our Roads and Parks Department director, obviously it doesn't sound like talk to the person that was on your show, but did talk to at least a resident.
Mm-hmm.
out there and made some recommendations about how they might go about fixing this in a cost-effective manner.
I would imagine that there were quite a few roads that had this kind of experience over the winter. You get any reports about that? I mean, there's a lot of rain there for a while.
I mean, we had some major highways split apart. So, yeah, I mean, we did have a lot of that. This road probably, like you said, if it's put back in the 50s, probably didn't have the same kind of geoengineering, geotech work. It's clear that there's slide issues on this road. You know, county decides to go out and fix this and spend, as they're saying, $500,000 geotech, geoengineering, doing all this. The county owns it, and the county isn't going to own a local access road, right? I mean,
okay,
they're for people to be able to build houses. That's really what it's for.
All right. Danny Jordan, the county administrator, I appreciate you bringing some clarity to it, and I figured you would. And thanks so much, and just kind of a tough situation for the homeowners, really, is what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I do want to offer that. I think our Roads and Parks Department Director, Steve Lambert, can assist the group, but I would recommend the group get more organized, have a representative, not have, you know, multiple people out seeking different remedies. I mean, they need to do some organization on their side, and I'm sure our Roads and Parks Department Director can help them walk through the process, make some recommendations to help them.
All right, very good. Hey, Danny, appreciate the take on it, all right? Thanks for the talk, all right? Good to hear from you.
Thanks.
Jackson County Administrator Danny Jordan, 856.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. I call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
856, interesting times that we're having in the insurance world. We've been talking with you about that before, but the person to help you through that, that's Steve Yancey. Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance. He's been working there. It's an independent insurance agency, and the beauty of it is that he works with many different companies, and he saves our listeners all sorts of money. He can save you money, too. But you have to call him. Call him at 261-5444 to get a quote and just see if he can work it out there. He is talking about some of the fire insurance businesses starting to loosen up a little bit. He'll tell you all about that. And if you got a worse deal somewhere else, see if maybe Steve can cut you a good one, too. Another phone number to remember at Sky Park, that would be Lynn Barton. If you've turned 65 and you need Medicare insurance, supplemental plans, talk to Lynn, 499-0958. 499-0958 or Steve at 261-5444. Also find out more about them. Great people at skyparkins.com.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.